Well, I'm Trisha Frost, and my husband and I started a ministry called Shiloh Place Ministries, oh gosh, after we left Evangel. So it's been 26 years ago. And we had the idea in mind that what we wanted to do is we wanted to change people's image of God. You know, the church so often has this law-based image of Father God that he's a cop in the sky and he's out to get you and he's angry and he's mad and you're the object of his madness for, you know, just because you got up today, you made him mad. And you may not feel that way. You guys as a church may not feel that way, but I travel all over the world and I promise you, people are afraid of their loving Father. I used to be that way. I used to be scared to death, and not just of Father God, but you guys were with us at Evangel. You remember how staff meetings were. Oh, my gosh, fear of authority. Fear of man. Did I do it right today? Did you do it right today? That was the topic of discussion. And so everything became you only have value if you can perform. You only have value if you're doing everything right in God's eyes. And I don't know about you guys, but I quit. I just absolutely quit. I could not measure up because as soon as I measured up, I had to go one up here. And it kept going higher and higher. I never could get there. And I realized one day that my life was like that because my image of who Father God was. Wasn't who he was at all. God's not angry. Thank you. Amen. And you know, in the church, and not just the church, because we know that. You guys know that. But you know what? People you meet in the grocery store, they don't know that. And you know why they're in the grocery store on Sunday morning instead of in church? Because they're so tired of the angry God. They're so tired of getting up, wasting their time on Sunday morning. Why? Because they're looking for love. They're looking for that place. My husband, I'm not going to do this, but at this point in time, my husband would run up and just sit in John's lap and go, I'll walk over here, though. They're looking for that place of safety, especially in the heart and the eyes of a father. You know, whether it be father or whether it be mother, we're all looking for that place where we belong. And we don't have to do anything. See, the church has told us, you got to serve, serve, serve. You were saved to serve. And I believe that. But see, here's the deal for me. I serve now because I love. And it's just a response. It's just an absolute wonderful response. And guys, I can't tell you, you know, I was a little Salvation Army officer back in the early 80s. And, you know, we didn't wear makeup. We didn't do any of those things. No, no, no. And I love Salvation Army. Please don't get me wrong. Salvation Army, I think, is the most credible organization in the world today. And so I love them. But thank you. Yes, they are. But, you know, there was a law-based thing that taught me to be afraid unless I performed. And see, so this weekend is all about helping us understand what an orphan mindset is and how we apply our orphan mindset, which is simply the feeling that I don't belong unless I'm doing something to perform. And how do we change that image of who Father God is? Because this is my worship leader, one of my worship leaders in the church I go to. And if you want to really, we're going to get her to sing one of the songs she wrote tomorrow, maybe, because she has a powerful voice. But she's a millennial. God bless them millennials. Some of you in here are millennials. And we love you. We really do. But you know what? We want to teach you what wasn't given to us. And if I can't do anything else, I want to change your image of who Father is so that you start out knowing he's loving, he's good, and he's kind. And if you never do another thing, you're loved just as much. So that's where we want to go this weekend. And like I said, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the orphan mindset versus the heart of sonship. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. And let me just say this. All of us have had orphan mindset issues. All of us have had our situational circumstances that have caused us to believe in an angry God. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm done. I need a new God. I need a new image of who Father God is. I don't need a new God. I have the same God. He's always been love. Here's the deal. He's always been love. And so over the years, since these guys have seen me, I've matured quite a bit. And I do things a little bit, probably a lot different. Let me just say this, because I don't think I've ever thanked her publicly, but Marianne saved my life. I was just getting over pneumonia, and we were on the phone when we were on staff at Evangel. And I was just getting over pneumonia, and I started choking. I couldn't get air, anything. Well, instead of, you know, are you okay? She drops the phone, calls an ambulance. They come. I had had an asthmatic attack, and they hit, and I never had asthma. Cleared my throat, but this lady saved my life, so thank you. You move fast and swift. And I'm doing what I do today, you see? And God used you as an instrument in my life for that. So I want to talk to you tonight about our image of His nature. And one of the ways I've matured is I used to think I could only, you know, because I'm a girl and it's a boys' club. You guys know that, right? It's a boys' club. Church is a boys' club, right? Nah. But because that, but this is the way church was at one time. It was all about a boys' club. And so in a boys' club, you can't be you. In a boys' club, you got to be you. You got to act like a guy, think like a guy, or whatever. So anyway, I'm done with boys' clubs, thank goodness, or whatever. But me too, I know. Thank God. You have a beautiful voice, by the way. But in my growing up, I've learned that I can prophesy, I can teach, I can evangelize, I can be an apostle, I can be a pastor, I can be all of these things because all of who the Father is lives within me. Amen. You know, and so many people just don't get that. And so that's why hopefully this weekend we're going to make just some shifts. And stick around for this weekend because you're going to learn what the word shift means. We're going to make some shifts in just how we have processed our relationship with a loving, loving Father. And one of the things, one of the gifts that God's given me, and He's just matured in the last couple of years since I changed my image of who He is the gift of prophecy just operates. And so if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to do what I feel like I have to do, and I might be up here teaching. If I get a word, I'm going to give it, if that's okay, because John's already said I can do whatever I want to do. I did a meeting last week, and I walked up to this guy, and I just couldn't get away from it. And I kept saying, I don't know what it is. I stopped right in the middle of my sermon. I said, I don't know what it is, but I keep seeing hidden treasure. And so I just called out the hidden treasure within him. Come to find out, the name of his business was Hidden Treasures. And he went, and see, when you trust Father God, you know, whenever you're faithful with the little, He's going to increase. You know, He's going to increase. And so I've been in meetings where I really want to get this teaching out, but there have been times where the Lord just wanted to speak to His kids. And I feel like that's brewing in here. I mean, we will get to if I have to wait till tomorrow. But I feel tonight, too, there's a brewing. There's a stirring. And when His Spirit moves, you want to move with the cloud of glory. You know, you just don't want to. So I'm going to go with it for a little while. Is that okay? Amen. Yes. I know you guys don't know me, and usually I like to do at least one meeting before I prophesy over you. But you know what? When God's God, you just do whatever He says. That's right. We really and truly have got to get bold as a church. All right, so let's talk. Can we talk for a little bit tonight? I love to call whenever I travel. Last week I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Next week I'm going to be in Chicago. You guys like The Shack? Is that controversial kind of a thing here? Paul Young. I love that movie. Well, guess what? I get to do meetings with Paul Young next week. That's exciting. Trisha, you're bragging. Heck yeah. Because, you see, when you're faithful with the little, you get more. And I've been faithful with the little, and so I got a call. You want to come and do commencement services at this Bible college? Sure, I'll do it. Well, would you mind doing it with Paul Young? Do what? You know, you're kidding me, right? No. He's the guy that wrote the book, The Shack, that the movie is about. The Shack. And so I get to go and be with him next week. I am so excited. How did I get that? My daddy did this for me. My daddy set me up. And so I'm excited. But whenever I travel, I love to talk about what I do is brooding. Brooding simply means we want to create an environment for your favorable development. Guys, you're not too old to learn. We can teach an old dog new tricks. We can. I am example of that. You can be taught new tricks because you know what your new tricks are? It's your vision. It's your destiny. It's the things that have not been fulfilled. Don't wait till you're our age to do what God is calling you to do. Find your destiny today. And where it starts is trusting that Father God is a God that loves you with everything inside of Him. Again, we guys grew up with the angry God. I'm done with the angry God. The angry God didn't do anything but caused me to step away from church and from people. But this Father God, and I want to tell you how we changed our image of who this guy is in just a few minutes. But this Father God, the image of Him has helped introduce me to this family, this community of family. And that's what really church should be, is we're a community of family. Well, how do you get there, Tricia? Because I hear you talk about that. I want to be a part of a community like that, and I'm probably thinking you guys already are. But still, whenever you're speaking with someone else, how do you get there? I think we need two things. We need faith and we need courage. And to do anything in God's kingdom, you got to have the courage to step out and do it. But you know what? You got to have faith. Let's look at the definition. This is what I think faith is. Can you hit that video? Is that not the definition of faith? She talked all of those people in believing in something that wasn't there as though it were. And then it ended up being there. Right. See, that's the definition of faith, is believing in those things that aren't there as if they were. And the other thing we need in order to create this community of family and change our image of who Father God is we need the courage to step out into your second act. Even some of you young guys, as millennials, your first act is done. You need to step into the next thing that God has for you. So when my husband, Jack, we worked alongside of these guys when we were at Evangel Cathedral, but and started this amazing ministry called Shiloh Place Ministries. We've been all over the world. We've done all kinds of things. And then he dies. How do you deal with that? Well, I do have answers, but we're not going to get into that tonight. But he dies. And after he dies, my friend Bill Johnson, and see, I get the awesome that Bill and Benny are friends of mine. And so Bill sent me his book that it wasn't out yet called Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. And the book is all about courage. You see, Bill knew that I needed to step into the next thing. And inside of the book, he put a little note and he said, Tricia, you've got some choices to make. And I pray that you'll make the choice of courage. And I'm saying in here, this tonight in this room, you've got some choices to make, guys. You've got some choices to step out of what's comfortable into what might be a little uncomfortable, because it's your second act. It's the next thing that God has for you. And it's called courage. I mean, it's a part of it is courage. So I want to read to you the introduction to Bill's book real quick. And it says, it's to strengthen yourself in the Lord. It says, it's the time to be of great courage. I don't know of a time when strength and courage were more needed. But I don't say that because of the darkness of the hour. Anybody know the darkness of the hour? Are you guys seeing? I mean, just things that are going on in the news today. It's crazy, some of the stuff. That is a given. I say it because of the realm of God's promises that linger over the church waiting for someone to believe it and to say yes. Guys, there's promises lingering over this church. There's promises lingering over this area. And Father God is just waiting for you to step into your destiny, into your promises, and to go after it. And guys, we're going to have to come out of our slumber. And we're going to have to shift and change who our image of God is, because God can't reach the world, this hurting world, with anger. He can only reach it with love. And He can only reach it with love as if we open our hearts and get off the judgment wheel and just start loving his kids. So the next few days is going to be filled with just helping you understand, well, how am I going to do that? Trisha, you don't understand. I can't do that. Well, I couldn't either. But here's the deal. You owe the world you. And so there's no more excuses to say, well, I just can't do that. I don't want to do that. Too bad. Too bad. Guys, we were made for revival. We were made to stir things up. And that's who I am today. People tell me all the time, you don't look the same. You don't act the same. You're not the same person that I knew 20 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that even in the midst of the greatest crises of my life, I can find what Father God is doing and live my life there. You know, have there been disappointments? Have there been crises? There's been all kind of junk. But you know what? When I changed my image of who Father God is, I'm living this life. You don't understand, Trisha. What if I fail? Do you know how many times I've asked myself the question, but what if I fail, God? Again, I'm a girl in a boys' club world. I mean, I teach alongside of people like Randy Clark, Bill Johnson. You know, I teach in Randy's school. I'll be there in 2 weeks. You know, people that have changed the world. I get to walk alongside of them. How did that ever happen? You knew me back then. Did you ever think? I never thought. But when I changed my image and when I began to believe in myself that even if I fail, I'm still loved. Because here's the deal. You're going to fail. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to fail. We give you permission to fail because the word fail means first attempt in learning. You're going to fail. You're going to do your first attempt, might whatever. But you know what, Trisha? But I have these things I like. I have these things that just mean more to me. And they caused me to fail. Well, I want you to look at this little video about what do you do whenever you fail.
Troy, what are you doing?
Like in court.
Are you supposed to be doing that?
Uh-huh.
Where'd you get it?
In that book. With that strawberry on it in court.
What Mommy had set aside to take to Mimi and Pop's house for us to eat.
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry I did it without you asking me. About me.
How sorry are you?
Very sorry.
You don't look very sorry. If you're sorry, you wouldn't keep doing it.
Talk to the hand. Just talk to the hand. Have any of you ever done that? Have any of you ever said, Father, I'm sorry, I won't do that again? Well, I tried. That Cool Whip is just so really good. And I keep trying, Father, and I keep trying. But you know what? I keep going back to my Cool Whip. Is God mad at you? Never. Did you hear that mother talk to that child in an angry voice ever in the video? She's probably trying to hold back her laughter. See, this is how I see my Father God. He never laughs at me, but sometimes he will laugh with me. And he'll go, did you learn anything, Trisha? You know, that's the kind of father I have. Did you learn anything? Bet you won't do that again. And even if you do, we'll go have Cool Whip together. Because you see, Father God is not a punisher. And so many of us have grown up in homes to where it wasn't safe to make mistakes. And so we saw God as punisher. Somebody that'll punish you. You know, and so you continually make mistake after mistake after mistake. When it's just learned behavior. When you grow up in a dysfunctional home with parents who they've been hurt and wounded, and they don't know how to create an environment for your favorable growth and development. We got to quit blaming mom and dad. Now, I'm an inner healing ministry, and so we go through inner healing things, but we to learn cause and effect. We got to quit the Adamic nature, the whole blame game. But when we grow up with those cycles of pain repeating themselves, it leaves a wound inside of our emotions. And if we don't deal with the wound, the pain of how we've been treated, of how we've been made to feel whenever we fail, guess what happens? You do it again. And you do it again. So how do we learn from our mistakes? Because so many people feel that it's unsafe to learn from a mistake. And here's the deal, guys. How did you raise your kids? You know, you help them understand, okay, this doesn't work. Let's try this. Well, don't you think Father God still has that same thing for you? This didn't work. So let's try something else. Because that song we sang tonight, never gives up. Never gives up. Well, you don't understand, Trisha. I do understand. Jax did. I can match you thing for thing, crises for crises. He never gives up on us, no matter what. So, today I'm talking to you about the nature of Father God. And here's the nature of Father God. Anybody know the nature of Father God? Love. This is a great church. You guys have done a good job here. God is love. 1 John 4:18. Period. Not when you're doing everything all right today. God is love. And in a minute, we're going to learn the definition of love. Let me go ahead and tell it to you. You know what the definition of love is? Love thinks no evil. Love is large. Those are my two favorite definitions in 1 Corinthians 13. It's love is large. Love doesn't think evil about us. Love is a gift. Love is a gift, not a reward, and especially for performance. But see, so many people can't trust the gift of love because we've been wounded. We've been hurt by those very people responsible to grow us up. Now, here's the greatest text that you can get from somebody. My daughter, while I'm sitting here, we have had an atrocious week. I'm talking about, I think every kid in our family has been in the hospital. My granddaughter put a Lego microphone in her ear. And so guess where she was at right before I came today? In the hospital, screaming bloody murder because they have to get the thing. That's why Doug couldn't be here, because they thought they were going to have to do surgery to get this little tiny microphone out of her ear that she decided to put down in there. So it's just been one thing after another. My dog almost died. Just da-da-da-da-da. I'm telling you, I can show you one thing after another. But anyway, here's what she says to me tonight. I'm feeling grateful for you tonight and praying for you. That'll make a mama cry. Your example made me the strong mom I am today. The legacy. See, the reason why it's so important to understand the image of who Father God is because I want to leave a legacy of His nature to the world. I meet with people all the time that have been left the legacy of law. And they're constantly being beat up by Christianity and law. And guys, that's why we're losing people in our churches. Because they're tired of law-based Christianity. And they're ready for love-based. And the only way they're going to get love-based is if we stop preaching it from the pulpit and go out and live life. Live life with each other. We can do that as we change our image of who the Father is. So many people judge Father God because of their pain. You know anybody that walks into a room, and as soon as they walk into the room, you feel that they expect you to reject them? Have you ever done that? And so what do? Do you just run right up to them and just embrace them and love them, or do you head the other way? So many of us head the other way, don't we? You know what I'm talking about. We head the other way. But see, that person has developed an expectation out of their pain to be rejected. Because somewhere in their life, a mother or a father or a spiritual authority has rejected them. And they are left to feel abandoned. And this is where the world is today. But John 14 says this. Here's where I am today, guys. This weekend, you're going to learn a lot of scripture on abandonment and on love and stuff like that. But it's what it took for me to change my image of who the Father is. And that's why people come to me from all over the place. I mean, weird stuff really and truly does happen to me since I've changed my image of who God is. And when crisis hits me, now the first thing that comes in my head, what would you do, Father? What would you do? What does the Word of God say? Because isn't it easy to be overwhelmed? Isn't it easy to just let life just carry you along? And I don't want to do that anymore. But John 14 says this, I've chosen to live by these scriptures. And John 14 says this, I will not leave you as an orphan. And tomorrow we're going to talk about this orphan mindset. But I will come to you and I will love you and I will declare myself to you. And if you love me back, and if you'll keep my word, it's just that simple. My Father will love you, and this is Jesus talking, and will come and will make our abode in you. He lives in me. And guys, I'm serious. I used to be the preacher that would stand in the pulpit and tell you how to live life, and I'd go home and not live it all the time. Now I've got to example it. No matter where I go in fear and trepidation, not because I'm afraid of anybody, because I want to make sure I hear. And see, this is the life we're supposed to live. There's no more slumber in this day, in this hour. I don't care how old you are or how tired you are, or how sleepy you are, or whatever. There's a plan. There's a destiny. So everywhere I go, people feel that. And they sense that about me. I can walk in a store. I mean, this is stuff that happens. This is stuff that will happen to you as you change and step into sonship. I was in a children's store not too long ago. No lie, I kid you not. This person walked up to me. What do you do with that? And I go, do what? And they go, I go, are you nuts? What's the matter with you? But, you know, I've learned to recognize assignments. And so as they're sniffing me, I'm going, Father, why is this person sniffing me? Wait for it, Tricia. Wait for it. You see, as we trust the Father, well, you could be. Well, if we go out to eat tonight, I'm going to pray that God will send you a sniffer. But as I waited for it, the lady said, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but you're different. And I want to know why you're different. You smell good. So I thought, you know, she smelled my cologne. You know, I wear a Love Oil. And I thought that she was smelling that. And then I realized I was out of Love Oil. And I was waiting. Had to wait 2 weeks to get a new supply of Love Oil. She was smelling me. That is really cool. This is the kind of Father that I serve everywhere I go. I expect the unexplainable. Amen. So I can live the unforgettable. And I live today the unforgettable everywhere I go. And people sniff me out. Genesis 27. This is biblical. You know, Trisha. Yeah, really. Come on. Genesis 27:27 says, the smell of my son is like the fragrance after the rain. And you know what? That was when little deceiving Jacob had dressed all up thinking he's going to fool his daddy. And he walks in there dressed like his brother, Isaac. Isaac, right? Jacob? No, Esau. Sorry, I always mess that up. Esau, you know, thinking he's going to get the promise and the blessing of Esau. But you know what? I can change clothes with Katie all day long. But who am I still? I'm still Trisha. And I believe with all my heart that Isaac knew that that little stinker Jacob was up to something. But he loved him anyway. Right there in the midst of his sin, right there in the midst of his deception, right there in the midst of his cool whip, the father came and embraced him and kissed him and blessed him. Now, Esau got a blessing. That's another story for another day. But it's always amazed me how in the midst of our greatest crises, in the midst of our greatest sin, in the midst of our greatest tragedy, the Father doesn't throw us away. No matter what you grew up in, I had a loving father. My husband had an abusive father. No matter what father type you had, this father won't throw you away. But see, in Christianity, we have taken, because I believe there's a great revival on the earth right now as we speak. And I believe this great revival that's on the earth now is going to usher in kingdom principles. And the great revival on the earth today is Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And it's about, for decades, the father's hearts have been hardened and detached from their kids. I meet with people all the time. You wouldn't believe some of the abusive stories I've heard. Katie was in Washington, D.C. last week with a very secular lady. And some of the stories she told about how her mother treated her was horrendous. How do you change from that? They may never change, but there's hope for us to change as we step into changing our belief structure. So I believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is the revival that we're in today. And that simply says the hearts of the fathers are being redirected to the sons. And guess what? The sons are responding. The sons are responding. And see, I want to create an environment to where the sons feel welcome to come home. In the midst of your not knowing how to live life, in the midst of whatever it is that the next generation is coming into, they need that place of safety. They need that place where they're not going to be thrown away by the fathers and the mothers. Whether we had it or not is not the issue. How do we create it for them? Change our image of our view. And how do you do that? We're going to talk about that some more tomorrow, but it all begins with forgiveness. It all begins with letting go of the pain of your childhood, letting go of whatever that has changed your image of who Father God is. Because I want to say this to you as a church. We were riding coming up that mountain, and Katie was going, "Are you sure this is where we're supposed to go?" And I'm like, "I think so." Then we saw the sign. We thought, okay, there's got to be a church up here somewhere. And then we get up at the top of the mountain, and our mouths drop at the beauty. Oh my gosh. Father God created all of this just for you. You know how much you enjoy it? You know what it did for us? Can you imagine what it will do for the world? But we're responsible to introduce this to the world. Your community, your responsibility. To go and raid the kingdom of darkness. To go and raid. See, here's the deal. The kingdom of darkness they're not going to come to you anymore. You know, that's why we have very little salvation experiences in the church. The evangelists, if you're living here in the church, your job is done. We got to go out into the world and go after them. Place ourselves where they can sniff you out. Because you have something different. And that's what that lady said to me. "You're different, and I don't understand why." And as I explained to her love and how I felt loved, yada, 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 I didn't get the chance to lead her to the Lord that day, but she wanted more. She wanted to know more about. And this, that same lady that Katie was with last weekend, she looked at those girls that were there, and she goes, "You know, because of you, I might look at organized religion again." That's what she called it. "I might look at organized religion." What she saw was the love of the Father. See, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. So how do we change our image so that people are comfortable in the presence of love? You know, I don't know about you guys, and if y'all don't, I don't know if y'all believe in this or not, but I'm going to shoot it out there anyway. Everything changed for us in Toronto. You know, God did such an amazing thing up there that it forever changed my life, but people couldn't get past the barking dogs, and they couldn't get back past the crowing roosters, and they couldn't get past the roaring lions. You know, because they were afraid of that. But those lions roared for a reason. Do you know that when a lion roars, you can hear it for 5 miles? I'm full of, by the way, all weekend you'll get lots of little tidbits of information because I'm just full of that. They roar for 5 miles. Do you know why a lion roars? Protection. A warning. This is my tribe. Back up. And you know, how do you feel when an environment is created for you to where you feel protected, to where you feel loved? You just kind of, it's okay if I touch you, sweetie?
Sure.
You just kind of want to get right up on in there like that, you know, and because you feel safe.